shine, little Rover, deliver, deliver, lead us.
Good evening, and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with, of course, our regular and fabulous gardener. It's Lance and Lulu in the house. Howdy, worms.
Hi there.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, we got some munchies going on tonight, some more mulberries from your yard.
Yeah, another
Lance.
2 weeks or so of those.
Mm-hmm. Very lovely and tasty, and some sour cherries tonight.
Oh, I know. I put one in my mouth and went, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to dip those in some dark chocolate. Yes.
Oh, see, you're one of those people that'll ruin good chocolate with fruit. God.
I can go either way.
Yeah. I always figure it's better on its own.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so it is a live call-in show, and these fabulous gardeners are here to answer your questions or share your tips.
And everybody's
vice versa.
Down at the park.
Well, there's a big listening area, Lulu, so not everybody's down at the park.
That's
but
true.
Here in Paonia, it is cherry days going on, so that's what we're talking about. And let's give the phone numbers, 970-527-4868 and 1-866-KVNF-NOW. Jeff's ready to field your call. Where should we start? Where should we start?
It's hot.
It's hot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And trying to keep things watered and just keeping that hose going and moving it around as much as you can, right,
yeah.
Lance?
I'm moving it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. I mean, I have stuff that it just laid over and said, I'm done. You must be high.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just won't do it. You can see that happening
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is when it dries out so fast that the ground cracks. And you're not doing anything wrong. It's just drying out. Really.
It's just the nature of the dirt here.
Yeah.
Soil,
right.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. Well, hopefully the people in the park here in Paonia are doing a little rain dance.
Yeah, they
really
are.
Feel good.
And the other thing, too, is that wind that came through this afternoon was ferocious.
It sure was. It sent branches, like, everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just came down 3rd Street, and the town crew was out there trying to make sense of it. And there's branches everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough.
Well, let's talk about trees, because you wanted to mention elm bugs, Lulu.
There is an infestation in this town of those elm bugs that it's off the charts.
What do
they're
they look
everywhere.
Like? Can you
they're small. Mm-hmm. They look. There was one in my bed a couple of days ago. And
that his name?
Yeah. Yeah, elm bug. Elm. His name was El something. El Bugo. Anyway, they can crawl under the screens and through cracks. They're small enough to do that. They're kind of the size of a small earwig. They kind of are shaped like an earwig, but they don't have the pinchers and everything. But they're kind of
super tiny.
They are tiny,
mm-hmm,
and flat and very non-distinct, sort of just brown. And they don't do anything. I mean, they just hang out.
They're just all over.
But they're everywhere.
Everywhere, and they eat the leaves, right?
They eat the leaves, and, I don't know what all else they're eating, but hopefully not too much.
So I remember we had a caller several weeks ago talking about the scorch on the elm trees this year because of drought and heat, and this is part of that whole cycle, or what are you thinking about that?
I don't know. I guess it's, maybe, but it's not scorch.
It's just, again, it's the mild winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
it's just the climate conditions this year are just way
and plants are stressed.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
And insects know to go after plants with stress.
Right, exactly.
They vibrate.
Yeah. There's a different sense to it.
Yeah.
What other bugs are you seeing that are kind of prolific this year, maybe due to the heat and stress?
I'm actually not seeing much.
That's my thing, too.
Yeah, I'm not seeing much. Yeah. I see some grasshoppers here.
Some, right.
And I'm seeing some aphids. But then, I was seeing a little bit more aphids. And there's this bird that loves to work the underside of the leaves and stuff.
Yeah, the little titmouse or something.
Yeah, it just cleaned them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're working. My cherry tree up high had a lot of black aphids on it. And, those real sticky ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds were all, aside from being all over the cherries, they were all over the aphids,
yeah,
too. It's a prime source of protein for them.
Yeah, the yeah birds are loving it, yeah, absolutely.
Protein and sugars. I yeah mean, what more can you ask for?
Right. Well, great. We've got a caller. It's Eric calling from Ridgeway this evening. Good evening, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We're great.
What's going on?
Hey, I have a question about California poppies.
Okay.
When I first moved to my place 13 years ago, I had 4 blooms. And then about 7 years ago, it maxed out at about 153.
Ooh.
All the way down my driveway.
Uh-huh.
And this year I had 6. And I'm noticing all kinds of mole trenches all
uh-oh
over the place. And I was wondering if the moles are attracted to California poppies.
Boy, if they are, they're getting high, because that's what you do. You know, those roots are
yeah, they,
a sedative.
They can, those California poppies can winter over, and they also reproduce from seed, too. So it's probably eating them. Something's eating it.
Yeah.
Yes,
and do you think drought conditions may be contributing to that, too?
Yeah. Are you watering these at all?
No, not at
no
all.
So, yeah, it's probably the drought conditions aren't going to get, you're not going to get much. They're in survival
yeah
mode.
They're mm-hmm in total survival mode. That's, yeah.
Perfect
that's
storm right
it
there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you
yeah
can, get some more seeds and rough the ground up and plant them this fall.
Yeah. Just plant them this fall and they'll do just fine.
Yeah.
And
all right.
The other thing, sometimes you said how long have they been there? 15 years?
13 years.
13 years. Sometimes soil gets burned out with the same plant
yeah
year after year after
mm-hmm
year. And that
gotcha
also almost might be part of it too.
What
all righty.
Okay. What would you do with that soil there, Lance?
Well,
you amend
know,
it or
you could amend it, but mm-hmm you might not get poppy. Put the California poppy someplace else.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
right
Eric.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Awesome.
Wow, that's amazing. 4 to 153 to 6. Counting the blooms.
Yeah.
I love it.
The
right
blooms.
The blooms.
And then I work in a garden where there are weeds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I pulled them out of the vegetable garden parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can be in the rock walls and things like that.
Sure.
And they're
sure
actually quite pretty.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Yeah.
They're
absolutely
fabulous.
Love them.
And yeah they really are fabulous sedative.
Yeah.
I've made tinctures from the roots and, whew, boy. But you have weird dreams, really weird dreams. Let me tell you,
more than just a sedative.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah it's yeah they're poppies.
Mm-hmm.
They're not opiates.
They're poppies.
No. Poppies. Yeah. Well, yes, herself was mm-hmm very fond of them.
Yes, that's right.
These things must be done delicately. You gotta love her.
We do love her. Okay, 970-527-4868, 1-866, KVNF now. Good answers right there. No stumping the chumps on you guys
nah
tonight.
No, we're red hot tonight.
Red
come
hot
on, you guys. Bring it. Stump the chumps. Oh, I who was I talking to? Oh, was it Carolyn? Yeah, I think it was Carolyn said that she was online fiddling around and saw this thing about squash bugs. And what you do is you put duct tape around your fingers so that the sticky side is out.
Sure.
And you can just go and
rop.
stick the squash bugs, and you can get the eggs off that way as well.
Well, that's clever.
Oh, wow. All right.
And I thought, that really is, because you know how they stink something.
They
got
stink.
Off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't really want to touch them much.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And so Carolyn was telling me about the silver duct tape and the squash bugs. I thought that was so clever.
I like that mm-hmm idea.
You know, when I started thinking about it, I started thinking about the elm bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they could make it across a strip of duct tape.
Ooh, maybe I don't
not
know. Maybe not. There you go.
Well, if it's
a new gardening tool.
You have to use something really sticky. Tanglefoot.
That's a tape or what?
No, tanglefoot is this really sticky, goopy stuff you put on the bark of trees so the bugs can't crawl up them.
Yeah, the bugs that have the
okay
cycles that go from the dirt to the tree and back up the tree and then back down.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever.
They can't cross it.
They can't go across.
I like those kind of tricks.
Yeah. Yeah, it works really good for ants. You know, if you have, for instance, an infestation of aphids in your roses and it's starting to really bug you, get it. You put the tanglefoot.
She's hot tonight.
I know, right? Well, so you put the tanglefoot on, and then you break that cycle of the ants bringing the aphids up the tree, and you're in good, you know.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You can cut down on it a bit. Tanglefoot is amazing stuff, but it is the stickiest stuff
in
the universe.
Yeah, I just get an old stick or just a piece of kindling something.
Yeah.
Except
whatever
my fingers.
You do, anything but your fingers. Don't get your clothes in it. Whatever you do, don't put your tongue on it. Just, it's bad stuff. It's nasty, but it works.
More than just a tangle foot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, good one. See?
Woo, you're rubbing off on me.
I love it.
Okay, 527-486-8-1866, KVNF now. A lot of things germinating and still planting. All your stuff is germinated, right?
I'm so excited. All the marjoram germinated. You really have to have faith with marjoram because you don't cover the seeds, except I always cover them a tiny bit. But, you know, you just throw them on the dirt and they germinate.
Yeah, they're so small, watering probably gets them into the ground.
Yeah. And you have to be careful when you water, too. You have to be careful not to wash them away and disturb them too
lightly
much.
Lightly water.
It's got to be very misty, soft kind of water. But, boy, there they are.
Oh, great.
I know. I'm all excited. That means I have rosemary, marjoram, basil, and that's my beginning of the Italian seasoning. What else
there
do I put in there? Oh, yeah, oregano.
Mm-hmm. And your arugula is doing
rosemary,
well.
Rosemary, thyme. Oh, thyme. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. You know, if you've been a failure at everything else, just go plant arugula.
Arugula, right.
Yeah. It's so satisfying. It really is. You put it
you
down.
You really think you have a green
you
thumb.
You really think you're the bomb, you know.
Right?
It just comes up like crazy. So. Mm-hmm.
And Lance, you have planted all kinds of stuff just recently.
Just recently I planted beets and kohlrabi and finocchio. And let's see, where's my list? Basil and lettuce, cilantro, and I'll just keep doing that until at a certain point. Well, the last main planting of that kind of stuff is the first week in August for our fall harvest.
Okay.
So the basil, I'm not planting any more basil. I did plant basil just the other day, and I'm still planting pintos. And the pintos the first ones came up in 6 days.
Wow.
And they really like beans and corn and squash, they really like warm,
heat.
Hot
mm-hmm.
soil. And
yeah.
I planted it right after I took the garlic out and watered it right then.
Mm-hmm. Were you putting pintos in where you harvested that rye? Or
I did that too. And that was a few days later or 4 days later. And those pintos are coming out of the ground now.
Nice.
And what garlic did you pull already?
I pulled the Enchilium and the Turkey Red. And I got... also got out of there the German porcelain, and I have two varieties I'm leaving because I want to grow them out of the seed for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I let one of my garlics have the scape stay on so I can just use those seeds.
Yeah.
And then the other garlics, the wild ones that are everywhere, their scapes are on because I use those as little garlic pills all winter.
Oh, there you go.
And then I have the spring garlic, which I will harvest in about 2 weeks.
Okay, nice.
And then that will be a fall bed of beets and peas and whatever.
My garlic that I planted last fall, I'm going to leave in for about another 2 weeks, but pull the water off. No more water.
Okay.
On the garlic.
It's all ready to go. Yeah, and we've got a great picture of Lance in his drying house with his garlic. And you can check that out on the website after the show. You can always listen to the show on the website, too. It's kvnf.org. You can email us, too, because we're high tech.
You guys are high tech.
Worm at kvnf.org.
Oh,
we act like it. We only play that on the
pretend,
radio.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Jeff in there, it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Especially with the phone calls.
Oh, and speaking of which, it is Jenny from Norwood with
nice
a question.
Nice work. See, not everybody is at the park. Nice
right?
work, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. How are you tonight?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a couple of questions, actually.
Oh, good.
Good.
I wanted to ask about diatomaceous earth. I'm sure that it's been discussed before, but someone told me to put it around my plants to keep some of the ants and insects off. Uh-huh. But I see it has some safe handling info on the outside, and I wondered, wow, is this okay?
Yes.
And also, I have something chewing a number of my plants, but there's no eggs or moths or anything on them. So it must be happening at night. I wondered if there has been...
Well, what are they chewing on? What are they chewing on?
Yeah, that's
kale.
The first kale.
Aha. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kale, cabbage.
Aha. And what do the holes look like? What does the chewing look like?
Well, it looks like they're eating the side of the leaves.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's sow bugs or earwigs.
Yeah, it's sow bugs or earwigs.
Yeah, and that's why you...
They come out at night.
Yeah, they come out at night.
Or it can be the little centipedes, too.
Okay.
Those little things that curl up.
Uh-huh.
And does diatomaceous help
Yeah,
that
diatomaceous then? Will take care of that.
It'll slow
it
them down.
It will, okay.
Yeah, diatomaceous earth.
And is it safe to use?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, diatomaceous earth is microscopic plankton. It's fossilized.
Fossilized and, diatoms.
Diatoms.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And it's those little fossilized crystals, they act like glass. And they will cut the insects up, especially if it goes through their breathing apparatus.
Right. So they.
All right, great. So I reapply it each time after I water?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll go home this evening, and wherever I need to put it if I haven't watered or I have watered, I will sprinkle it on the edges of my beds because that's where it's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you do that as a regular habit.
I do it almost every evening.
Oh, wow.
I'm going around. If I water someplace, I'm going to put it on.
And I have two more questions.
Great.
Go for it.
Is Agrabon useful in this heat to help shade the plants?
Agrabon, is that row cover?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going
to
be fine.
And my last question was, are the elm bugs, are they going to kill the elm trees?
No.
No.
Nothing can kill an elm tree.
I have some Siberian elms, but I still don't want them to die.
No. I doubt it. There's just no way. They're elms. And the row covers, shade
row
them
cover,
up a little bit.
Yeah, it will shade in. You can water right through it. You don't have to take it off. You know, you can... If you're hand watering,
you think it's good. It's not going to prevent something from being pollinated,
right.
or
well, it depends on what. If it's tomatoes, you know, or peppers, yes. But most everything's just leaves or roots. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Jenny.
Sure.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Some good questions there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, row covers are tricky, I think.
Because of the pollination factor
Yeah, the pollination factor. And you know how viewers like Lance was saying, you can water through them, but you really should have them supported somehow if you're going to do that. Otherwise, it just lays. It can lay kind of heavy on the plants.
Some kind of structure there to hold them up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah I've seen I've seen half inch. Black polypipe curled up, you know.
Right. So you just put
it makes it like
bend
a,
it. Sure. Make
like a
hoop.
Little hoop.
Yeah. You just make a hoop or whatever. But I like it. I've used it before when it's extremely hot.
Yeah. And this seems like a good year for that.
Yeah. But I have, you know, fences and wire all in my garden because of the cats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always something, right? So
yeah.
the cats, when I make a new bed and when I put the seeds in.
You've got to cover
I got to cover it.
Because
they
it
think
just
it's,
calls
it's
the cats.
Just, they yeah. just
You know what my problem
so
is this
happy.
Year?
What's
there's
that?
Always new toad holes.
Oh, really?
Right next to, or they have actually, from time to time, dug something up. But it's like, I can't get mad, but it's like... Dang.
They're going at it this year.
Yeah, they're really having a good time. This one, they didn't dig anything up, but there's a big hole right next to the newly planted daikons.
Really?
Yeah, they're just...
Party.
Moho toad party. So, you know what else I saw that I really... What are those ant lions? Remember those? They make those little swirly holes.
Yeah.
God, I saw a bunch of those under the big pine tree, and I thought, wow, those are so cool.
Is that different for in your yard this year?
No, it's
but they like dry ground.
They like dry ground.
And, and it's like this cone, and it's real soft soil, and the insects get in, and they can't get out, and they go down, and there's the ant line buried in the bottom, ready to eat.
Ready to munch.
Yeah. All right. 527-4868-1866 KVNF now, and we're going to talk carrots because Phil in Paonia is on the line with a carrot question. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I asked Lulu about this the other day when she came up, but I'll need Lance's expert opinion.
Get off the phone.
I stumped her with this one, but I planted carrots March 20th, you know, and they came up gently, you know, and they came up nice, and then all of a sudden they're beautiful and tall, and I've got these beautiful carrots, but they developed seed pods, and they've gone to seed, and they're like a second-year carrot, except they're not, and they're no good.
Yeah. No, they're no good when they do that. And there's – what variety was it? Do you know?
I can't remember. I have it written down somewhere, but I don't remember. It was a couple different varieties.
Yeah.
Probably don't plant that variety again.
You know, it's
good answer.
There's extreme heat is one thing, and I have some varieties that I don't plant early because the longer they're in the ground, they'll bolt. Or you know, I have a few of those in my early carrots. I've noticed even in mine that I'm seeing some bolting and some varieties that I normally don't get bolting in.
That's heat related.
Yeah.
And I think it's heat related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all thinking that it was heat related.
And the other thing is, are those save seed or did you buy those, Phil?
They were bought.
Okay. I don't know where you got them, but sometimes you might. Now, are all of them going or just some of them?
A good proportion of them. And I'm afraid that the places where I had holes along that 60-foot row, I planted other ones in, and the little ones are, it hasn't happened yet, but it's happening slowly all along the whole row with at least two different varieties.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's heat.
I think it's varietal. And and then the other thing, sometimes they don't do this in the seed saving or in the commercial seed, but you take the carrot seeds from certain parts of the plant. And if you take it from the very top, if the big seed heads that first come up off the carrots, those promote nothing but top growth and want to go to seed. And I think you might have also – this is also a possibility of a bad seed stock.
Sure. That makes sense, too.
Yeah.
Some rookie seed collector.
Just a curious question. If I were to cut the tops off, the ones that are still good, cut them back just a little bit, do you think that would ruin everything or –
No.
It's just not going to help.
They're all going to, what I would do.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, okay.
Yeah.
Don't cut them. Don't do it. Yeah.
Are the carrots good enough to eat? Are they big enough? Are they just small carrots?
No, the other ones aren't ready. The ones that still have narrow stems aren't ready, and the ones that have big, thick stems are no good.
Okay. Darn.
Darn. Sorry,
well,
Phil.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, thanks.
All right, thanks
for the call.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, bye.
Bye.
Good thing you're planting more carrots this year, Lance.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a good. Where are you at with all of your carrots?
Well, everybody's thinned, and the last bed's thinned, and then in another week or so, I'll plant that half a bed again. Is where the peas and I had planted down the sides of them. Spinach and lettuce, early green. So I got just the last planting of lettuce there. And once that's out, then I'll plant that into scarlet nantes and rumbas. And the rumbas I need for seed crop next year.
Is that going to be your number six bed?
It'll be number six.
Number six. Yeah. Okay. That's a lot of carrots.
That's a lot
of
carrots,
that's more
boss.
Than
a, you I'll
know,
tell you what.
That's what I'm doing this year.
All right. Sounds great. Okay, 527-4868-1866 KVNF. Now we have time for at least one more call. And what about corn?
Knee high by the 4th of July.
And is it there?
Mine's thigh high.
Well, then you're going to
be
fine.
Thigh high on Lulu, knee high on you.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight.
Yeah. Where's that? That's a Midwest thing, most likely. The Corn Belt.
I don't know. I've heard it in New England. I've heard it in Vermont. I've heard it
in California. So.
Yeah.
What is corn is as high as an elephant's eye mean?
Whoa. When you see corn like that, and one, I was in Vermont one time visiting a friend, but on the Connecticut River, as a matter of fact, and their corn was as high as an elephant's eye, and it was spectacular.
Mm, sounds awesome.
I mean, it's like a jungle of corn.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. Right.
You know, it's
beautiful.
You can't see over it. You can't see through it. It's spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Hey, Jane from Paonia is on the line tonight. Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Hi. Fine. I'm a little late. I couldn't get through, but this is just a comment to Lulu. I might even comment on the corn. But I really need to put in about cats. Cats outside kill birds. And I want them to
yes,
be really,
they do.
It's decimating our bird population. It's significant. So I want to encourage everybody that can, at least if you have a new cat, train them to be indoors. If you have an outdoor cat, it might be a little hard. But Lulu, that'd be the way to get rid of your problems with your cats. Keep them inside.
Now, can I, Jane,
if they didn't have a mind of their own.
Jane, they're 14 years old. They're 14 years old, okay? They rule everything.
Right?
Okay.
And they're also very lazy. I don't think they've killed maybe 5 birds in their whole life.
But I am
an average cat.
You're right, and I am totally on board with that. You're absolutely right. House cats are responsible for a huge decline in especially the songbird populations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Lulu.
Yeah, so anyway.
Can I ask about the corn? If it were as high as an elephant eye, would that tall plant have more than just 2 ears, or would it have more than 2?
Oh, God, yes. They would have 3. You know, it's some variety they were growing up there for... probably for cow feed. It was not, you know, beautiful sweet corn.
They were probably making silage.
Yes, I'm sure they were making silage. And the leaves on this corn were huge. I mean...
Yeah, but we don't eat the leaves.
No, but
corn.
But cows do.
Corn takes up so much space in your garden, and you have to realize that most of them only have 2 ears.
Yeah.
So, but if it's higher... that'd be great if it had more than 2 ears.
It depends on the soil fertility. And if it has real high soil fertility, you can have up to 4 or 5 ears. And something that tall probably does. My popcorn, on average, has 3 to 4.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off the line. Bye.
Right. Thanks, Jane. Thank you, Jane. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, this was a commercial, plot, and it wasn't that big. It wasn't like it was, you know, many acres, and probably they were growing it for silage for the horses and the cows. And
sure.
A lot of horses up there, a lot of cows and goats and, you know, pigs. I don't know what else eats corn besides everything.
Right.
They're growing it for the raccoons.
It was raccoon day.
I'm sure the raccoons could take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. God, I don't know how critters. They handled that. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Hey, I wanted to talk about that lawn since we're getting close.
Well, let's talk about it.
This lawn, I helped some family members with a lawn, and it was dying out and drying up and blah, blah, blah. And I went to the place, and what had happened, they were using a mulching mower. And scalping it almost was the first thing. So they're cutting it really low instead of, we've mentioned, cutting it high.
Right.
And the mulching mower was putting so much mulch down into the ground that it was suffocating the grass. And in some places, it was actually killing the grass. And the moisture, they had a sprinkler system, the water can't get through all that mulch.
It was just getting stuck in that.
Yeah. So I actually used a spring tooth leaf rake and... set on edge.
And set it free.
And I raked. Took me an hour and a half, 2 hours, and raked all that stuff out of there. and then we reseeded it the bare spots.
Wow.
And I took his lawnmower and raised it 2 notches high.
Okay.
If your lawnmower isn't at the top notch all the way up right now, you're not doing yourself any favors.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you even need to mow? I haven't mowed in a month.
I mowed, I mowed not yesterday, but the Monday previous, and then this week I won't mow. And you know what? I might not get it mowed next week either because I might be out of Dodge. So we'll see what's happening anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So if the problem with letting it grow tall like that, the only problem that I foresee is if you have a sprinkler system, that tall grass can block the pop-up sprinklers.
Yes,
and
if
that's
you have
the
a
only
pop-up.
That's the only disadvantage that I can see with it.
Okay.
You know, even my frog eyes and my circular one-hole sprinklers, I put them on a piece of 2x4.
You raise them up.
Raise them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Nice thinking, Lance.
Yeah.
Good thinking. Yeah. Using your noggin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, see, I forgot that part. But you're right. Absolutely. You know, it can. And, in fact, if you have a sprinkler system, you should go out, because I've had to do this twice already, make sure that your sprinklers are up above your vegetation.
Yeah.
Because we're on the Rio Grande side where my sprinklers are, man, I have had to cut it back a couple of times.
Yeah,
free the sprinklers.
I worked on a sprinkler system outside, and it's been in for over 20 years, and soil just builds up.
Sure.
And some of those sprinkler heads were 3 and 4 inches below the soil line.
Whoa.
So we actually dug them up and put more risers so that they got up to the soil line.
Really need to do some maintenance on that.
So you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're good, soil grows. I mean, that's how, you know, that's how what archaeologists, you know, that's why they find everything.
Right.
They got to dig because it's down under all the stuff that's been piling up.
Soil
for
loves
years.
To build up.
Yeah.
And I just want to say how great it is that we are free to grow our own food and eat our own food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an awesome choice.
It is a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a privilege. And thank you both for sharing all of your tips. Thanks to our callers and everybody that listens to As the Worm Turns. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday at 6:30. And it's Lady Lou with One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening.
All right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Mazda, which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.